Hello, and welcome to our podcast, Gain, on ndtnow.com, where we discuss the business of NDT. This podcast is intended to address business issues which pertain to the owners in the NDT industry, such as financing, leadership, 401k management, personnel sourcing, as well as stuff like innovations in scheduling and project management. Today's podcast is brought to you by SureHand, the self-service hiring platform that instantly matches industrial employers with verified tradespeople. Visit them at surehand.com. On today's show, we have Mr. David Bajula, past president of ASNT and general manager of advanced NDT services for Acuren. He's got 40 years in NDT, is a chartered engineer through BINDT, and volunteers a lot of his time mentoring and moving the NDT industry forward. Dave is an ASNT level 3 in 9 methods and has 4 API certifications as well as a CWI. Thank you so much for joining us today, Dave.
It is my honor to be here.
So back when you were president of ASNT, you wrote a series of articles about leadership, which we at ndtnow.com thought was a really great series of articles. Can you tell us a little bit about that series and why you feel it's so important for the NDT industry?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a long running passion of mine talking about heart. And I've morphed that lately into what I call a mission critical or the ultimate safety moment. But, you know, specific to heart, you know, as it relates to NDT and the technicians and execution of NDT, you know, honesty, excellence, accuracy, respect, and teamwork is what the acronym stands for. And as I always say with my technicians, you know, I tap my chest here and heart, I said, you got to have heart, you know. And it reverts, you know, really reverts around excellence. And it starts with every single technician.
That is super clever. We really enjoy, we enjoyed reading about that when you were president. I think now more than ever, people are really honing their skills, whether through online technical courses or through webinars that explore other skills vital to career advancement and success. And so I feel like this heart would really bring a lot of knowledge to our audience. And, you know, our audience is everybody from, you know, level one technicians and trainees all the way up to CEOs. And I think that what you talk about in these articles really will resonate with a lot of people and can help people with their careers at any level. So why don't we get into it and hear a little bit more about HART. And so let's start with H. Can you talk a little bit about what H stands for and what it means to you?
Sure, absolutely. So honesty and integrity, you know, it's what we do. Major decisions, you know, are made on our inspection results. And there's a level of trust that's implied. I remember Steve Covey did a presentation at one of our fall conferences. He was one of the keynotes. He talked about the level of trust or speed of trust, if you will. And that really rung true with me as well. But you know, in the engineering world, which you're an engineer, and I get involved in certain engineering decisions as well, but safety factors on pressure vessels and other components, you know, are based on that level of trust. And the data and inspection that we present must be accurate. You know, the days of old, when I first got out in the field as a level one in the 80s, it was common, sad to say it was common, hearing the stories of people radaring film. And even today, and if you ever saw that movie China Syndrome, you know, it was about shooting the same weld over and over again, but changing the ID, right? And, you know, that's just a big breakdown in trust, not to mention the ramifications associated with not shooting the right weld and presenting it accordingly. But even pencil whipping ultrasonic thickness readings, you know, I'd spent a lot of time in the oil and gas industry and CMLs, as they call it now, corrosion monitoring location, you know, it's still not common, but it still happens. People will be in the truck and they'll have their old readings there and they'll just pencil in readings minus 5,000s and they'll turn them in. And so pencil whipping data and radaring film is just, it's got to stop. And I think honesty is certainly one of those things that, that people got to understand.
For sure. It was super eye-opening for me. I saw a presentation that Chuck Hellier did for one of the ASNT sections recently over Zoom. And it was all about ethics. And boy, did he tell stories. You know, he's been in the industry for over 50 years, and he told stories that shocked me, really shocked me, because NDT is all about honesty and integrity. You know, we're saving people's lives, and if we do it incorrectly, people can die. And they have. He told all these stories about, same thing you were saying about, you know, people shooting the same weld and just changing the ID, and it's just awful. So, no, I agree.
Amen. Chuck's one of my mentors, for sure. You know, I often use the analogy, I hope it's appropriate, but, you know, although honesty and integrity can be hard to achieve, it's easily lost. I compare it to our blessed virginity. You know, you only have it once. You know, in this business, when you lose your integrity, you know, it's really, really hard to get back. And people got to understand that.
And not only with testing, but if you make a mistake, I find that it takes people a long time to realize in their careers that if you make a mistake, it's okay. People make mistakes. You just own up to it as soon as possible. Be honest about why it happened. And then you do an analysis of how is this not going to happen again?
Absolutely. You know, you hear it, you know, when you were in engineering school and whatnot, you hear about the 80-20 rule, right? So, I mean, I've said it time and time again in our testing, you know, we're only tested to 80%. So, you know, we have a 20% error there inherently built into our everyday system anyway. So we are going to make mistakes, but that mistakes is completely separate from honesty and integrity, right?
Exactly.
Okay to make mistakes. It's not okay not to own up to it.
Exactly. So, given that we're talking about mistakes, let's talk a little bit about E, what E stands for, and then we'll go right into A.
Yeah, absolutely. So excellence, you know, excellence can mean many things. You know, certainly in the NDT, I'll talk about some aspects of it, but even just personal best, you know, it's about doing your best, you know, knowing that you're going to do your best. You know, quality, in my opinion, is directly connected to excellence. You know, in these trying times right now, especially way before COVID, in the last decade, it's all about doing, inspection and all the work better, faster, and cheaper. And, you know, I compare that to the three-legged stool. Okay, you know, if you lose one of those, you know, it might be a problem. But actually, you know, we strive to at least give them two. You want better and faster, or you want better and cheaper? You know, the gold standard would be to have all three. But as we balance that, try to get them services and do our work better, faster, and cheaper, you know, we can't forget excellence. We can't forget safety. We can't forget quality. They go hand in hand. And excellence, in my opinion, is cradle to grave, you know, start to finish. You know, it really starts, you know, at the beginning, you know, in qualifying NDT techniques, qualifying procedures, and making sure people understand those procedures and can execute the work to those procedures. Even the people that are involved in the background, the people that might be doing QA or third-party review on the reports or submitting reports or analyzing data or even scheduling the work, you know. So, you know, it all comes together. And that'll circle back a little bit more when we talk about teamwork. But excellence is cradle to grave. And it's not just a goal, in my opinion. Excellence is everything. So this is where we need to be.
Yeah, and I think it ties in with what is so important in NDT, which is hard work, right? So achieving excellence comes from working hard in your education, whether that's in the classroom or on the job site, and then working hard every day. And to me, that's the best way of achieving excellence. And for NDT, it's also often the best way of achieving a better salary. So, you know, you're doing yourself a favor while doing the public's favor and your employer a favor. So,
no, absolutely. And some examples of that, you know, I my mentors, you know, and we all have mentors ongoing. I still do. But back in the 80s, when I was learning my craft, you know, you go the extra mile. You know, I put in dedicate personal time. You know, I might be on the job from 8 to 5, But then from 5 to 7 o'clock, you know, I'm reading procedures or I'm doing more and going above and beyond and learning my craft, you know. And you know, if you're going to punch a clock and only put in time from 8 to 5, then you're just going to have to accept it's going to take you a whole lot longer to get where you maybe need to be, you know.
So
and I always say, you know, in Akron, we talk about the achieve, you know, and that has a different acronym, but always looking for better ways to achieve, you know, personal best, if you will.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what about A? How does that tie into all of this?
Accuracy. A is for accuracy. It goes without saying that, you know, like I said, in honesty, you know, that engineers make decisions based on our data, you know, and there's tolerances involved with that data. And, you know, sometimes people like to say, well, we'll be the most conservative. And other times they want to say, well, what's the outside tolerance on that? But accuracy in NDT is paramount, you know, for the decisions that are required for safety and integrity of the components we inspect. Accuracy and precision are two different things. So you can be accurate and less precise. You can be precise and not so accurate. You know, so those two kind of go hand in hand as well. Ideally, you want both. I want high accuracy and high precision. You know, if I'm out there on that safari hunt or I'm out hunting, I want to make sure I'm accurate and precise. You know, many times we deal with, in ultrasonics, we're dealing with the frequency rule. People don't necessarily understand that we have, you know, a frequency rule that, you know, based on wavelength, you know, so we already have inherent tolerances in the frequencies that we're using. And if you compound error or lack of perfect calibration or lack of setting up equipment right, then you've got another error on top of that. So accuracy, no matter how you spin this, is paramount. And then there's probability of detection, you know, so there's probability of detection, and most of the time that's based on equipment and procedures, not human factors, you know. So human factors is a whole nother element that you and I could talk about for probably, you know, half a day. But, you know, in the end of the world, I want high accuracy and high precision. That's the goal.
Right. And that goes back to that three-legged stool, right? So the more you increase your accuracy and precision, the more the price often goes up as well. So it's about finding that balance.
Yes. And then there's accuracy in the, as it relates to your reporting. I mean, you know, now most of us use computer-based reports, but, you know, in the 80s and 90s, we were using handwritten reports. I remember when I was doing nuclear work, we were allowed to have no more than 2 whiteouts. You could have 2 lineouts. And if you're writing a lengthy report and you had more than 2, you had to start over, right? Literally, you could have a line, you could initial and date, but no more than 2. So now with word processing and with computer-based report, it's certainly easier. But how many times do people forget to hit the F7 key and do a spell check? You know, I mean, accuracy comes on many different levels. And if you've got a shoddy looking report, it doesn't matter how good a job you actually did. If you can't communicate those results, you know, in a way that's professional and certainly accurate, then, you know, the owner user or the client that you're working for is not going to have confidence in the results. You know, so it really comes full circle.
For sure. For sure. You know, I really stress the importance of clear, concise communication. So yeah. I appreciate that one for sure. I've read some horrible, horrible inspection reports that just make my brain hurt. But, you know, you have a lot more confidence in somebody's results when their report or any piece of communication is really buttoned up. So.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I've been on some legal cases lately, and I'll tell you the first thing I look at is the content, clarity, and the quality of the report. And I can almost frame the entire case based on that. Almost always.
For sure. Yeah. So, next up is R. Can you tell us a little bit about R?
Respect. Absolutely respect. You know, it's treating everyone with a person of, you know, every person, you know, with a dignity and high value, a person of worth, if you will. You know, like the old adage goes, respect is given before it's earned. And like integrity, it can be easily lost. You know, you got to respect the knowledge and experiences that you have, and you need to mentor the same. I mean, I'm big on mentoring. I hope I do my part in mentoring. I think we all need to. No person really got there where they're at without a mentor, and it's your duty bound to do the same thing. but it's also respecting, you know, the people that you're doing the work for, or even the people that, you know, did the, you know, either fabricated the weld or fabricated the component. You know, nobody likes bad news. And, you know, I use the old adage, you're out there in the field shop and you end up with some bad results and you're marking up the weld. And, you know, you got to break the news gently to the welder. You know, you don't just go up to him and say, hey, your weld is junk. I don't know where you learned to weld, but, you know, this just ain't going to cut it. You know, say, hey, we've got a procedure here. We found some indications that the owner user is probably going to find rejectable. I mean, there's ways to prevent, you know, present bad news. And I can't tell you how many times I've seen welders that just got the bad news in the wrong way. And you need to be careful how you present your information. Again, nobody likes bad news.
For sure. And then
the rules of engagement is the big thing when I talk about it. You got to respect the rules of engagement. For NDT, you know, I drive time and time again. You know, we work to procedures. All of our work is done to procedures. And I can't tell you how many times people think the procedures are right here instead of in their hand or in their toolbox or with them when they're doing the work. And codes change all the time. Procedures get revisions. You know, you really got to discipline yourself and respect, you know, procedures and doing work to procedures. You know, so respect is on many different levels. The people, the process, the system, the whole thing.
Exactly. And realizing that the system is in place for a reason.
Yeah.
And respecting all of those specifications, the standards, respecting yourself enough to do your best, like we were talking about in excellence, and really respecting those others that work with you, because, you know, and I'm sure that you'll talk about this on the next one, but when everybody's working together, we really get a better result for everybody. So respecting the people that you work with to find the best solution to any sort of challenge is always the way to go. So given that, can you tell us about tea?
Tea for teamwork, of course. You can use whatever sports analogy you want. You know, there's many of them, but teamwork is working together to achieve the results, the desired results. You know, best results are always achieved when people work together. You know, I believe that in my heart. with radiography, I use that as probably my example in one of my presentations. You know, you can have the best skilled technician in the world that creates the perfect film. And, you know, a little sidebar, you know, when I was doing radiography, you know, I took great pride in my ID being perfectly square, my penetrometer being perfect. And I looked at film as almost like a Picasso art, if you will. You know, the prettiest film, and I would use the highest, you know, the slowest speed film, so I had great resolution. But no matter how good that film is, you know, if you don't work together with the safety boundary or the, you know, radiation watch personnel, you know, the people taking care of the barricade, you know, then it doesn't matter how good a shot you made, you know, so safety is paramount. So a typical RT crew is going to be a minimum of two people, sometimes three, sometimes four. You know, so you really got to have respect and work as a team to really take care of things like it is. Level ones, level twos, level threes, you know, supervisors, managers, you know, the person that calls out or logistics and take care of all the travel plans and everything. You know, if you get there and your equipment haven't arrived, well, you're going to have a bad day and it's going to delay your job. So, you know, teamwork is working together, you know, everybody, not just the technicians, but it's supervisors, management, and the whole package, if you will. The old day of, you know, it's not my job just doesn't cut it anymore, in my opinion. You know, it is your job. You know, it's your job to make sure things are done right and to work with a team and you're duty bound to do the same.
For sure. And I find that the more I know about everybody else's jobs and how it affects mine and how my job affects theirs, really adds to the teamwork, because if somebody is struggling, you can always go and help them and say, you know, what can I do to help you do your job even better? Or what can I do to help you, you know, overcome some of these challenges that we're facing? So I think the more that people can help each other in a team, the more efficient and effective that team can be. So it's just, you're right, it's paramount to everything that we do. And it ties everything you're talking about together. If you're honest and you work to your level of excellence, you know, people will respect you more. And the more the team respects and trusts each other, the better they can operate.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, you know, we talked a little bit about mentors. And when I do the We've Got Your Six podcast, we always ask our guests about who their mentors were. And so maybe you could tell us a little bit about who your mentors have been and what maybe some advice that you have for people just starting their career.
Sure, absolutely. Well, my early mentors go way back to when I was in, Hutchinson, I went to Hutchinson NDT school, and the proverbial thing when we got out of there, at least for several decades, we were called Hutch Pups. we come from Hutchinson, but Jerry Notch was the welding guy there. So, he was a pretty interesting guy, a very, very serious guy, took welding serious. And we had to make our own weld, and we had to pass radiography on our own weld. So, he was certainly a mentor in that regard as it related to quality. And then Dennis Barrett, my advisor, was a mentor. Kind of a funny story. The first 6 weeks of school, I took it real serious. And, I got ahead of the class, this, that, and the other. And the second 6 weeks, I realized I could slack off a little bit and enjoy the environment of college and a little bit too much partying. And, by the second semester, I was starting to fall behind. So my advisor, my mentor said, "Hey, Dave, you need to step it up again." And I did. So, he was one of my early mentors. And then, as we move on later on, I've got several mentors. Bob Cameron is a mentor of mine. Jim Treat, founder of Longview Inspection. Chuck Hellier, a mentor of mine. Ron Nesbitt. I spent a lot of time with Ron Nesbitt. Between him and Chuck, what have they got, 200 years experience? I mean, those two guys are just amazing. And then, I was working on the Titan 34D rocket out in California on a special project. A guy by the name of Mitch Gregory, took me aside and he said, "Hey, you really want to learn this AUT stuff?" I said, "No, absolutely." He said, "Well, hang around after work and I'll teach you some things." So for 3 or 4 weeks after work, I stayed for 3-4 more hours. And he gave his own time, to get me up to speed. And then one day they had a big problem with the system and all the operators threw their hands up and didn't know what was going on. He said, "Hey, let Dave take a look at that." "Oh, he's a laser guy. He don't know what's going on." "No, I can take a look at that." And within 10 minutes, I had it up and running. And from then that point on, I was the AUT guy.
Nice.
So Mitch Gregory was certainly a good mentor in that regard. But mentors go on and on, even today. We got mentors all the time. You're one of my mentors.
Yeah, we certainly do learn from each other. And certainly, I mean, everybody I come in contact with, right? You're always learning. I mean, that's the best thing about NDT, right? It's that there's never a dull moment, really. You're learning new methods, new techniques, new ways to do business. New ways to communicate. Here we are on the podcast. Along those lines then, what kind of advice do you have for people just starting out in their career?
Well, there's lots of advice I could give, but I'll narrow it down to a couple of things. One, I just cannot imagine not being a member of AS&T. The networking, the information, from certification to contributing and giving back, but AS&T is such a valuable resource, for that. And we look at it time and time again. We often talk about the 300, the 300 volunteers that are there all the time. And we could almost name, you and I could almost name at least 200 of them, right? But it's the level ones and the level twos that, aren't members. We got to figure out how to reach out to them. And that's certainly one advice I would I continually make is be a member of AS&T and all that that is. And from, moving your career along, it's about, not pigeonholing yourself, get certified in as many methods as possible. NDT offers complex solutions, and the more versatile you are, the more techniques you understand, the more you can solve those problems. You know, I've been very blessed in the last decade to be able to solve some very unique problems for clients, saving them millions and millions of dollars and safeguarding lives, you know, separate story. And I don't think I would have been able to do that if I wasn't so versatile in my knowledge of NDT. Now, granted, I've often said I've had an unfair advantage. I went to a school that taught you how to weld first and then taught you metallurgy. And then after you understand those two, then we'll teach you NDT. You know, it's more challenging these days for people to just go to these mini NDT courses and have to learn the rest, you know, with mentors and help. So my biggest advice is don't pigeonhole yourself. You know, make sure you learn the big five at least, UT, PT, MT, and RT, and then eddy current to close it off. If you can be well-rounded in those four or five things, and then you can pretty much solve most of the problems out.
And you certainly practice what you preach. Before the interview, we were talking about how you'll be sitting for your acoustic emission level 3 soon.
Yes, next month I plan on taking my AE level 3.
Yeah. So you're never too old. Not that I'm calling you old, but you're never too old to learn a new method and get certified and continue to advance your career. So, well, thank you so much for joining us today, Dave. I think our listeners are really going to benefit from your insights here. And perhaps at a later time, we can do a webinar on leadership and heart for our audience. And if you'd be interested to hear more about heart more in depth, be sure to contact us at ndtnow@we-ndt.com and let us know. And thank you again to our sponsor, SureHand. Let good jobs find you. Visit them at surehand.com. And thanks again, Dave, for joining us.
You're very welcome.